Books of the Bible. Nahum, whose name means the Lord comforts, brought a message of comfort to God's people and a prophecy against Nineveh. Nineveh was a powerful city, but they were no match for God. He punished them severely for their wickedness. When you see evil or are tempted towards evil, remember that there are only two possible outcomes: repentance or destruction. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Get to this issue that has bothered me and bothered many other people.
That's scientific. This is Wretched Radio. That was the voice of Bernie Sanders, who ain't happy that a new nominee is a Christian who believes in the exclusivity of Jesus Christ. Oh, the horror. Imagine somebody like that in America who's involved in government, who believes that people who don't repent and put their trust in Jesus Christ will not be saved on the day of judgment. Oh, this is horrifying. And Bernie, and apparently a number of people, not disclosed, no sort of statistic offered, are not happy about it. That's a sign of the times. This is a different America. I am very pleased to nominate Russell Thurlow Vought. Vought. Is that like a Scandinavian kind of name?
You nailed it.
From the great state of Virginia. From the great state of Virginia, as the director of the United States Office of Management and Budget. He did work with Donald Trump in the first term. Donald Trump said he cut four regulations for every new regulation. He graduated from, Wheaton College, received his law degree at Washington University School of Law, and he's a Washington cat, and he's being grilled by Bernie Sanders. And this is what I would call religious discrimination, but I think even more than that, if Bernie Sanders is indeed any sort of representation of a growing number of people in America, this is shocking. That somehow the narrative has changed from, yes, Jesus Christ is the only true and living God, which Christians in America have understood, toward, how dare you believe that Jesus Christ is the only true and living God? How dare you be exclusive? Let's eavesdrop, shall we, on the budget committee hearings.
And that is in the piece that I referred to that you wrote for a publication called Resurgent. You wrote, Muslims do not simply have a deficient theology. They do not know God because they have rejected Jesus Christ, his son, and they stand condemned.
Oh! Condemned. Okay. The fellow that's on the hot seat, props to him, because he, I'm sure, stuck with the script. I would have answered things differently. Because Bernie Sanders was just, his flank was wide open on this. Bernie, I've got a question for you. You're Jewish. And what do Jewish people think about Christians? And what do Muslims believe about Jesus and people who claim that he's the son of God? What do they think about that, Bernie? But the fellow was on script and, well, probably more polite than I would have been.
End of quote. Do you believe that that statement is Islamophobic?
That we're terrified of Muslims? Well, not for that reason. Islamophobic? In other words, how dare you say that somebody is wrong about their religion? And Bernie, like so many people, can't imagine how we could actually believe that somebody is incorrect and yet not hate them. They cannot get that. One wonders why, doesn't one? Why do they find it so difficult to think that you can adamantly disagree? You can even think that somebody who will not have their sins forgiven will face an angry God on Judgment Day and will receive his wrath. That has been understood for centuries. How can the person who holds that belief and not walk around with a cane and just beat people on the back of the legs when they're walking on the street because they're Muslims? It's just utterly staggering. Here's the response.
Absolutely not, Senator. I'm a Christian,
And I believe in a Christian set of principles based on my faith. That post, as I stated in the questionnaire to this committee, was to defend my alma mater, Wheaton College, a Christian school that has a statement of faith that includes the centrality of Jesus Christ for salvation. And
again, I apologize. I do. Forgive me. We just don't have a lot of time.
Okay, that wasn't rude. He wanted to get to what he wanted to get to, which is making the guy look like some sort of wicked, evil Christian who couldn't possibly treat anybody fairly because he thinks their religion is wrong. It seems to me, I could be wrong about this, but I'm not because I'm a talk show host. But this guy was on the hot seat with Bernie, I think, a number of years ago. In fact, okay, I'm kind of a visual learner and rememberer. It was in the old Wretched Set. And it was on top of the stairs where we played clips of this, because this guy's voice is like just eerily familiar to me. It seems to me that Bernie was on about this last time. What is he doing? He's asking the committee to discriminate against somebody because of their religion. Hey, wait a second. I thought that was something we're not supposed to do, Bernie.
Do you believe that people in the Muslim religion stand condemned? Is that your view?
Bernie, have you read a book? Have you ever cracked open a Bible? Have you ever met a Christian? Honestly.
Again, Senator, I'm a Christian, and I wrote that piece.
Well, what does that say?
The statement of faith of Wheaton.
I understand that. I don't know how many Muslims there are in America. I really don't know. Probably a couple of million. Are you suggesting that all of those people stand condemned? What about Jews? They stand condemned too?
Senator, I'm a Christian.
I understand you are a Christian.
Well, there's the love coming out right there, isn't it?
But this country is made up of people who are not just. I understand.
This goes back to the confusion about the Texas curriculum, that there can't be anything in the public square at all that has anything to do with religion. Now, let's be honest, it happens to be the Christian religion. But nevertheless, this is as if religion somehow cannot be, it has to be so separated for fear of violating church and state that we pretend it doesn't exist. That, I think, is what Bernie is showing.
That Christianity is the majority religion, but there are other people who have different religions in this country and around the world. In your judgment, do you think that people who are not Christians are going to be condemned?
Thank you for probing on that question. As a Christian, I believe that all individuals are made in the image of God and are worthy of dignity and respect, regardless of their religious beliefs.
He can't get that. You can't respect somebody if you think that they're wrong about their religion. It seems to me, what do they call it when you are accusing somebody of the very thing that you're guilty of? What's the name of that psychological?
It's gaslighting.
there's another name for it. Not that we want to use psychological terminology. Oh, but you project. You're projecting. Aha, that's what's happening here.
I believe that as a Christian, that's how I should treat all individuals.
And do you think your statement that you put into that publication, they do not know God because they've rejected Jesus Christ the Son and they stand condemned? Do you think that's respectful of other religions?
Bernie, what do you think about what you're doing to this fellow right now? Do you think you're being respectful of his religion? No. Russell, V-O-U-G-H-T. Well done, sir. I'm telling you, he kept his composure.
Senator, I wrote a post based on being a Christian and attending a Christian school that has a statement of faith that speaks clearly with regard to the centrality of Jesus Christ in salvation.
I would simply say, Mr. Chairman, that...
Get ready for this.
This nominee is really not someone who is what this country is supposed to be about.
So Bernie is telling us this guy is not in any way qualified to lead this office because of his religion. Because in America, we don't believe in discriminating against people because of their religion. Gotcha, Bernie. Gotcha. Loud and clear. Once again, and I really doubt if there were a Muslim that were ever nominated to this office who wrote something about Christianity that was negative, that Bernie would care to probe it. Nor would, I'm sure, would he care to probe a Jewish person who was not pleased with Christianity, who would say that Christianity was wrong and that we're heretics for believing in a triune God. And this is because of Jesus. That's what this is. This is because of Jesus. The hatred for this, this is not hatred toward this fellow from Wheaton. This is not hatred toward individuals who are trying to teach history in an accurate way in the public schools. This is animosity toward our God. And this would be, in my estimation, one of the great contemporary apologetics for the Christian faith. Why does everybody outside of the Christian church, why does everybody go after Christ? Why does everybody go after Christianity? Why doesn't anybody go after Islam? Why doesn't anybody complain about Judaism and their beliefs? And the answer to that is one of the reasons that we have confidence that Christianity is true, that everybody is opposed to it, just like the founder said, that they hate him and they will hate us. Thanks, Bernie, for proving Jesus right again. This is Wretched Radio. Would you like the university experience without the, you know, university experience? The Masters University invites you to visit their campus, or you can visit them online at masters.edu/wretched to discover a Christian college that is biblical, that offers all of the academic excellence you desire: sports, athletics, arts, communication, all of the activities of, you know, a secular university without the, you know, secular parts. Please consider the Masters University online, or of course, on-campus learning, undergrad, master's, and doctoral programs. It's Masters University, the university with the university experience without the university experience. Masters.edu/wretched.
Thank you so much for listening to Wretched Radio today. And if you're anything like us, you feel the constant pressure to play catch up with today's rapid fire changes in this culture. We get it. And that's why Fortis Institute exists. Every day, we're bringing you content that will keep you grounded in biblical truth. Videos that dive into hot topics that are happening today. Podcasts covering everything from marriage and parenting to deep dives in theology. And of course, our webinars, which feature some of the sharpest Christian thinkers around. And the best part about it all, it's absolutely free, no strings attached. But here's the thing, we do need your help to keep this going. If you would prayerfully consider becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner, you're not just supporting us, you're helping us equip believers. So why not get the information? You can do that right now at fortisinstitute.org and get answers to any questions you might have about becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner. Wretched, amazing grace, amazing gospel.
Preborn Ministries, pro-life ministry, rescuing babies. The war, let me tell you, it's raging out there. And Preborn is right on the front lines providing what is so powerful, ultrasounds. When a woman sees her baby 80% of the time, it's a no-brainer. That's my child. That's a baby in there, not a blob of tissue. Worldview is getting pumped into everybody through Hollywood, social media, the internet, universities, businesses, and government. If you'd be kind enough to consider supporting Preborn Ministries, that would be groovy. Lives are saved. Women, men, hear the gospel. Please consider supporting this network of clinics that is doing such great work. Preborn.org/wretched. Preborn.org/wretched.
Titles of Christ. In the Bible, Jesus is given many titles that teach us about who he is and what he has done. Jesus is called the heir of all things. All things were created for Jesus. When Christ returns, all creation will be given to him. and as our mediator, he makes us co-heirs and will share all things with us. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
You are listening to a very mean man. This is Wretched Radio. You're about to hear a little snippet of a brand new resource I think is going to make you go, ooh, would like to hear or see all of that, but you can't because it won't be available to next week. That is why I'm a very mean man, because you're going to hear the dulcet tones of Justin Peters, who was in studio to deliver. Oh, together we did 16 lectures on discernment. And maybe you're thinking, 16 lectures on discernment? What is there to talk about with discernment? Well, the answer is a lot. And I'm afraid that discernment has indeed been an overlooked field of study in evangelical Christianity. Because if you go to the internet machine, you'll discover there's a lot of people who claim to be discerners. They have the gift of discernment. They're a discernment ministry. And yet so often, the rules of discernment are simply not being applied, or they're just not known. Why? Because I don't think that we've taken the time to assemble all that the Bible has to say about right judging. And that's why this new resource is titled, Thou Shalt Judge. Justin Peters, in studio, he delivered this particular lecture on the need for discernment for the sake of testimony. Because if we've got a bunch of Christians that are arguing over stuff and the world eavesdrops, guess what that means? We're being a stumbling block. Just preached on this Sunday at Alpharetta Bible Church. This is a terrifying section of scripture. And to all the people who think that, you know, God in the Old Testament was kind of crabby, Jesus was so nice. Let me tell you, what Jesus said in Matthew 18 is horrifying. It should terrify the world, the unbeliever, and it should also scare us. Because Jesus talks about stumbling blocks, and he makes it clear that if you are a stumbling block, whether you're a pagan or a Christian, God is not pleased. Now, please note, if you're a Christian, you cannot have a millstone tied around your neck, and you cannot be thrown into the depths of the sea. Why? Because you are in Christ. Now, that was aimed at unbelievers, at the world, but shouldn't it give us at least pause to go, wait, you mean God has a more severe judgment on people who are stumbling block people than other pagans? That is correct, because there are degrees of, there are categories in the Bible of people that will receive a more strict judgment. For instance, pastors, you're going to get a more strict judgment. Yikes. What about false teachers? I would not want to be in their Prada shoes for Is 10 million a lot these days? I can't tell. I think that'll fill up your gas tank a couple of times. The point is, I wouldn't want to be in their shoes on judgment day because they're going to get a stricter judgment. I wouldn't want to be in first century Capernaum. They saw the miracles of Jesus. They heard his teaching, and yet they rejected him. And woe to you, Capernaum. So there's a knowledge issue. I think there's a positional issue. If you're in a place of power and you're using it to harm people, God is not pleased with that. And this section of scripture in Matthew chapter 18 makes it clear to those people who are stumbling blocks, he's not happy at all. As a Christian, you don't need to fear that you're going to have a millstone, which weighed between 1,000 and 3,000 pounds, tied around your neck and dropped into the sea. But shouldn't that cause us to go, I don't want to biff this. I don't want to be a stumbling block. How can I be a stumbling block? Tell me, how can I be a stumbling block? Well, the answer to that is it's doing anything that causes a little one to stumble, that causes a little one to not believe, that causes a little one to not grow in their faith, that causes a little one to lack assurance. God is furious when that happens. And the language that Jesus uses indicates, We just got to be careful that we're not stumbling blocks. Listen to the language. It would be better to have a millstone. So imagine, we'll just split the difference. A 2,000-pound stone tied around your neck and dropped into the sea, which, by the way, indicates no burial. That's the worst kind of death. According to first century Judaism, the pagans believed that a sailor who drowned at sea, his spirit had to hover over the waves for all of eternity. It was the most abysmal type of death that could be imagined, and Jesus says that's what's going to happen to you if you're a stumbling block. And one of the ways that you and I can be stumbling blocks is when the world sees us being hypocrites or sinning or saying or doing, and they want to stay away from Jesus, but also when we are squabbling, when we don't have unity.
Our unity as believers should serve as a powerful testimony to the gospel.
And if we don't have unity, just the opposite. It undermines the gospel.
That the world may believe that you sent me.
This is what Jesus is so exercised about. He wants people to be saved. Now, please note, there is a stumbling block. And that stumbling block, if the gospel is being presented correctly, is never going to go away because that stumbling block is the gospel. 1 Corinthians 1, give or take 21. The stumbling block of the gospel that says, no, you can't. You think you can earn God's favor. You can't. You're not good enough. No, scratch that. You're not good at all. No, wait, hold on. You're totally depraved. And it's offensive to people. It tells the self-righteous, you cannot earn your way to heaven. Only Jesus can accomplish that on your behalf. And that's a stumbling block. And so when we preach that, and people stumble over that, no problemo. But when they stumble over us, uh-oh, that is what we need to be mindful of because Jesus wants to see people saved. He's adamant about this. This was the great mission on which he embarked. The mission that was determined before eternity began, that Jesus Christ would save sinners. And we got to be mindful of this. When we're squabbling and bickering about stuff, I'm not saying we never do that. But when the world looks in and goes, wait, what? You're arguing over that. It trips them up. For instance, let me take you to Texas for just a moment. The BGCT, that would be your Baptist General Conference, Texas. They've got some debate and some fracturing going on. They just had their big meeting. Now, this is apparently the BGCT, it isn't Southern Baptist, but it's in association with the Southern Baptist Church to some degree because they send a lot of money to the Southern Baptist Convention, $72.8 million. Woo! That's a lot. NAM willingly cooperates with SBTC and church planting, but not with the BGCT. Okay, so it's a collective of Baptists in Texas. And there was a motion put forward that said, let us affirm the Baptist faith and message of 2000. The Baptist faith and message is a statement of faith of the Southern Baptist Convention. If I'm not mistaken, it was written in 2000. Yeah. And this was, and includes inside of the statement about the role of women in the church. And guess what? They didn't pass it. Oof. So this issue of the role of women, guess what it can be to a watching world? A stumbling block. Because they see we don't get along on certain things. And they see that and they use it as an excuse. What did David say here, rather, from Nathan, 1st or 2nd Samuel? You have given the enemies of God great cause to blaspheme. He was a stumbling block by committing adultery with Bathsheba, by murdering her husband. He was a stumbling block, and it causes the world to blaspheme. That is why we need to strive for unity, one body, one faith, one baptism, one Lord and Savior. Unity is important.
But we live in a fallen world, and sin makes complete unity impossible this side of heaven. We live in a fallen world. We have fallen, finite minds, and so perfect unity is impossible this side of heaven.
Doesn't mean we don't strive for it.
So how do we deal with separation? How do we deal with differences, but relatively minor differences, as opposed to those from whom we must separate? Number one, we must separate from false teachers. We separate from false teachers. People who teach theological heresy. We separate from false prophets. In the last three or so years, it's been a spectacular faceplant for the prophets, right? I mean, they have been wrong, spectacularly wrong on literally everything. These major earth-shaking events that we've all seen in the last few years. None of the prophets prophesied COVID coming. None of them prophesied the riots that raged every single night in cities all around the country in the summer of 2020. None of them saw the war in Ukraine coming. None of them saw the debacle in Afghanistan.
But they can tell you they got a word about who you're supposed to marry and how much money you should give them.
None of them prophesied the war in Israel that's raging right now. 100% of the prophets prophesied that Donald Trump would win re-election in the United States presidential election. Now think about that. Something that earth-shattering, something that's been on the calendar, everybody knows is coming. You've got months, you've got years to prepare for it, to make sure you're hearing God right, and you've got a 50-50 shot at getting it right just by guessing, and they still get it wrong. There is more prophetic power in a magic eight ball than there is in all of the modern prophets combined. They couldn't prophesy a sunrise if they worked for NASA.
Told you. If you want more, stick around till next week. Thou shalt judge with Justin Peters. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.